Good morning, folks. Beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. I know a lot of folks are traveling. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be traveling. I will be going on long, long journeys. No lengthy excursion, but I'm off for the next 2 weeks. And let me say a heartfelt thanks in advance to the Bollinger family. April has provided us with some of the most beautiful music that we're drawing upon for your offering music as the ushers, assistants of the morning offering. And today is one by the gospel group Avalon. It's Adonai, and so beautiful. I've asked my beloved to go ahead and put the words of the chorus up there so you can appreciate that. But that music will continue. We'll continue to draw from that library of April's. So thanks to you folks. And I'm going to entertain any parish notices. I see Dick back here. Dick, we got an announcement.
Probably an insignificant announcement in the fact that it's not raining today, but there's two umbrellas in our umbrella bucket out here by this door. If you happen to bring yours some Sunday and stuck it in there and not remembered it, you might pick it up because it will rain again someday.
Yes, indeed it will, Dick. And that's when they're going to discover that they've lost their umbrella. I do that a lot. As a matter of fact, Laura, note to self, we better check that. Any other parish notices to come before us? We had such a marvelous, marvelous day yesterday. And I saw Marianne and Bob back here. I got to see the halls. The halls are back. And how wonderful it is that we got to be with Andy and Ashley yesterday. Just a beautiful time to be at their marriage ceremony. So our hearts are rejoicing for them and for us to have this opportunity now to come together to worship the Lord God. Any other sharings or parish notices? Then let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Stand for the opening prayer and remain standing for the call to worship. Loving God, you have searched us and known us and are acquainted with all our ways. You hem us in, behind, and before, and discern our thoughts from afar. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You are closer to us than our very breath. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is so high we cannot attain it. Yet if we take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead us, and your might shall hold us fast. Search us, O God, in this time of worship, and test the measure of our hearts. Breathe your spirit within us, and claim us as children of light, that everyone we meet might be blessed through the gift of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is none other than the house of God. This is no less than the gate of heaven. God hems us in behind and before and lays hands of blessing upon us. Rejoice, for we are in the house of God. Give thanks and sing, for this is the gate of heaven. Lift up your hearts, your voices unto the Lord in praise. Hymn number 395, Take Time to Be Holy. Take this opportunity, welcome one another through the passing of the peace. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Okay, but we'll have Chloe today. All right, children, I have my wallet here, and in my wallet, I have a library card. How many of you have a library card? You got one, Mahaley? Anyone else? You got one, Bailey? Cole, you have one? You and Chloe have one? Jacob, you got one? Well, I got some good news for you. You can get you a library card, and everyone is welcome to the library, first of all. That's one of the things that, of course, I always think of Dwight and Ray Smith, Warren, when I talk about library. Everyone is welcome. Doesn't matter whether you're a boy or whether you're a girl. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, whether it's red, brown, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who your parents are or where you live, where you came from. Everyone is invited to use the library. And there are many benefits. You can check out books, obviously. By the way, you got a church library here. Laura reminded me last night, said don't forget the church library, right, Mary Ann? You've got a nice church library here. But you could check out books. You can check out CDs, you know, with your music. We got this pretty song today by this gospel group, Avalon. They have all sorts of beautiful CDs there. And maybe your favorite group is there. But you just check it out. Even movies. I'm told you can even get movies there. And you can go there. You can go there. You can just read the magazines. You can read the newspapers. You can even use the computer at the library. And guess what? For all those blessings, for all those benefits, guess how much it costs to get that library card? Care to guess how much? Anybody know? Do you know? Should we tell you? Free. Free. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you know, when I tell you about that, open to everybody, blessings and free, I can't help but think of Jesus and his gospel about the kingdom of God. God made every child on the face of the earth. God is the creator of all that is. And God wants to give blessings to all of his children all around the world. And again, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. Doesn't matter if it's red, brown, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl, whether you're young or whether you're old. Doesn't matter where your house is, where you live. Everyone is invited into the kingdom of God. And all these blessings of the presence of the Lord. We just heard that prelude. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, huh, Derek? And the Lord is always with us. The Lord is always with us to give us all the blessings of his strength and his loving presence. And do you know what it cost to get life, life abundant and life eternal? Do you know how much it cost you? It's a gift. It's a gift. The price has been paid. Look at the altar there. See the cross? Jesus paid the price. Is that beautiful hymn? Jesus paid it all, right? But for us, it's a gift. So God wants us to know his blessings and to come to him and just say yes to the gift of his love. Let's make a circle here. You gotta tell Steve and Shelley. I don't know how they got it all done, you know, with the wedding and everything. But I mean, this place is just gorgeous, Linda. Just beautiful. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you want us to come to you. You want us to be your children, Lord God. You want us to be the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ and to know all your blessings and to make it happen. Jesus paid the price. It's free for us. It's a gift. The gift of your love, which gives us life, life abundant, and life eternal. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift that you give us in Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. God bless you, children. I've made them a promise, by the way, Tina. I told Jacob and all of them, Laura, you ought to write down the names so Greg won't forget. Yes, Brother Dave, you help me, buddy. Write down the names so I don't forget, because they all actually were willing to carry the mic for me. And I'm always, Margaret, I'm always looking for volunteers. Today I had 5 volunteers. So I am just thrilled, and I'll look for you all in the future. And it's going to be Chloe. Is going to be the one to help us today. And here, I'll tell you what I'll do, Dave. Let me grab, and you know what, Laura? Note to self, I still have those buckets out there. Cole, did you get the ones you want, buddy? Make sure you get the ones you want. I had that other out there. I saw them, and I said, Greg, bring them in. Yeah, I didn't do it. My memory's not so good. But there you go, there's a good variety right there, isn't there? Thanks, Mahaley. Did you decide which one you're going to keep? Good for you, honey. Well, you keep one, and then you give one to someone, and you witness to them about the love of Jesus. You got you covered, son? There you go. Thank you, Brother Dave. Well, you may return to your pews, and Chloe is going to take the microphone. Here you go, Chloe. There you go. If you're a visitor today, we want to welcome you. And there's a visitor's card if you wish to fill that out. If you want to take a moment to fill that out, you certainly can. And when the ushers come by with the offering here in a little bit, just drop that visitor's card in that plate. And if you don't mind, put your telephone number on there, because I got a call out this week. And I always appreciate getting that opportunity to phone you and to see if you've got any questions. Get you better acquainted. Well, here's Chloe with the microphone. This is called The Joys and Concerns. If you have a joy, for instance, a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary, or perhaps a testimony of how Jesus is giving you strength, you know, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, in your life. You want to lift that up. Or maybe it's a concern. Maybe someone you love is in need of prayer. You want to lift them up or alert us to that need. But joys or concerns, raise your hands so that Chloe can see you. Raise your hands, keep them up for her. And Chloe, I see one. I recognize this lady. Looks remarkably like my wife.
Well, I have a joy that my husband will be celebrating his birthday on Thursday.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I just got... some joy. I just been able to witness to a guy on the golf course this week and tell him about the Lord and everything, and it has really been a blessing of how, you know, he's helped me through my hard times and everything. And so he's always there for us. All we have to do is ask him, and he will answer our prayers on his time.
Amen.
And yes, also a friend of mine, I just found out last night, he's got cancer in his neck, and he's going through radiation, and I talked to his wife and his mom and dad in at Balliot's last night. Sis and I went there for supper last night, and I run into him, and she said he's having a rough time, so I'm going to pay him a visit sometime this week. And
Good for you, brother.
I told him, you know, that I'd be praying for him and everything, so his name's Mark, and just keep him in our prayers.
Thank you, Brother Dave, and thank you and Phil for serving on that calling team. The Lord just handpicked you. You're just perfect for that task. Any other joys or concerns? I see some back there. Chloe, she knows these folks. She knows a lot of these folks back here. I see Will and Megan. Now, Megan and Will, I didn't see you.
We appreciate the Ashley and... it was one of my days.
Andy.
Wedding
last
night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exactly 30 years ago today, Marianne and I celebrated.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Congratulations, Bob. Congratulations. And I didn't see the kids back. Good to see you, Will. God bless you.
I have a concern. Last night at the wedding, I heard from Jamie. Well, it's not Perkins anymore. But I heard that her grandmother, Cindy's mom, has been given a pretty rough diagnosis. She may maybe a couple weeks or something like that. So if you could keep Lois Owens and her family in your prayers.
Jeannie, did I hear you say for like 4 weeks or something?
Like 2 weeks, I think, is what they've said. But, you know, you never know. So if you could keep them all in your prayers. I think she had been doing really well. She had had cancer a while back. So I haven't talked to Cindy, so I'm not sure what's going on.
That is tough. That is tough news. Jeannie, thanks for alerting us to that. We keep them in our prayers. Tough time.
Bailey, this week in her first year of 4-H judging, she qualified to go to state in two of her projects.
Wow. Wow. Bailey. Awesome. Awesome. Great news. Any other joys? Joys or concerns? Well, let's show an appreciation. Let us thank God for Chloe serving by you. Just such a good job, young lady. My goodness, wonderful. Thank you, Chloe. God bless you. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to come here together as a family of God, brothers and sisters, as we lean on each other with some of this tough news that we've had to deal with this morning, and also the joy of sharing joys. Those are just compounded and magnified a hundredfold. So, Lord, thank you for the family that you have created by adopting us through the blood of the Lamb, through the sacrifice of the King of Kings, that you adopted us as your children. You, now, we recognize truly as a heavenly Father and a God of love. Lord, continue to strengthen us then. Father, Abba, Papa, strengthen us. Your children. Deepen our faith now, Father, as we lift up the prayer that the Master, the Lord, has invited us to share with Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A very, very fitting hymn to serve as an introduction for the Word of God this morning. Let's stand for 496 Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please be seated. One of the suggested lectionary readings of one of the lessons from the Word of God comes to us this morning, Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 25. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but rather you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and to obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But rather, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Abba, Father, add your Spirit to bless your holy word. There is a video that you gotta see. I told Laura, go ahead, Tim. You might charge me with the accusation that we're going to the dogs. Well, take a look at this one. The alpha male's helping out the others. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, that was. And again, I always keep my buddies anonymous. I don't tell who said it. But I do. I know who you were, and I sure thank you for it. And the first thing I want to say is, where was she when I was raising my kids? Huh? I mean, could any of you relate to that? My goodness, I feel sometimes like the, I can relate more with the, remember when Jordan would go under the pews? Linda, I remember Jordan going under the pews. Steve would have loved him, Larry. But I relate more to the iron worker on a skyscraper walking briskly on a narrow beam 15 stories above the street level, gusting winds, driving rain, no fear, no hesitation. When he goes down to the street level, there was a passerby, Don, who was observing all this, and he says, "Mr., how in the world should you get a job like that?" "Well," replied the iron worker, "I used to drive a school bus, but my nerves gave out." Where was she when we were raising our kids? Now, I really couldn't, obviously, I don't know this language. And I got to tell you, you don't have to know that language. You don't have to translate that language. How many of you saw what the dogs did without translation? Did you catch what they did at the beginning before they received their food? What did they do? They prayed. They prayed. No translation necessary. Which brings us to the topic today. Dave and I were talking about this a little bit before. Abba. Abba, Father. Now what Paul is doing, he's recalling Jesus. This is the peculiar and distinctive prayer life of the Savior himself. This was not at all found in the Old Testament. This is totally new. This is totally radically new, because Abba, you remember when you were raising your babies, Tina, I would always wait to see whether it was going to be Mama or whether it was going to be Papa. But Abba is the Aramaic equivalent to Papa, to Daddy. It is, as the scholars call it, the familial address of intimacy and respect. It is the utterance of an Aramaic baby in the arms of their parent, calling out to them and in total trust, "Abba, Abba." And we are invited by Jesus to be in this relationship with the Creator. And thus, the Creator is a loving Father. Not an angry God to be appeased, but a God to be loved, because this God, Bob, this God loves us like a loving Papa, like a loving Father. Such intimacy, such a level of trust. We're going to say a little more about this in a second. But the title of the sermon came to me. I was inspired by Max Lucado, who continues to be an inspiration to so many of us. You may, in fact, Marianne, you might have the very book. It was a book that he wrote, Applause from Heaven. And in it, he tells a story of his little three-year-old, Andrea. When she was 3 years old, Bob, he tells about how she awakened him in the middle of the night. Now, Max Lucado's he's just a real dad like all of us, Don. And he confessed, Dave, that at first he tried to ignore her and go back to sleep. He opened just one eye. Little Andrea, 3 years of age, is now standing by his bedside, inches from his face. "Daddy, I'm scared," she said. He opened the other eye. He looked at the clock. 1 a.m. "What's the matter, Andrea?" "I need a flashlight in my womb," she answered. "You need what, honey?" "I need a flashlight in my womb." He's awake now. "Sweetheart, why do you need a flashlight in your room?" "'Cause it's dark, Daddy." And Max went on to explain to her, "Sweetheart, the night light is on, the hall light is on." "But Daddy," she protested, "what if I open my eyes and can't see anything?" He was trying to understand what in the world she was talking about, Tina. And it was about that moment that his wife interrupted and explained that, sure enough, the power had gone out around midnight, and little Andrea must have awakened during the power outage, and thus, no nightlight, no hall light. That little three-year-old daughter had opened her eyes, and she couldn't see anything, Jean, but darkness. And apparently, she had waited in her room, frightened, until the power restored the light so that she could make it to her father. Now Max understood. And now, Warren, he did what any good father would do. He picked his little child up into his arms. And he got her a flashlight out of the utility room. He carried her back to her bed, all the while reassuring her that Mom and Dad would always be there for her. Always there. You know, one of the translations of the Tetragrammaton, of the beginning of creation, in the Old Testament, when the God of creation encounters Moses and gives his name, the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, one of the translations that Walter Brueggemann, the great Old Testament scholar, gives us is that it means, I will be there. What a blessed assurance, right? Amen. I will be there when you're frightened, says God. My name is my mission. I will be there for you, my child. And we all, children of all ages, you know, we all wrestle with fears. There was a young woman one night waiting at the bus stop. This was in the slums of one of our large cities, in the slums. And it's nighttime. And a rookie police officer approaches her and he comes up and he says, young lady, would you like for me to wait with you? Oh, thank you anyway, but that's not necessary, officer. I'm really not afraid. And then he replied with a nervous grin, would you mind waiting with me? We all wrestle with our fears, children of all ages. Jonathan Winters, how many of you remember the great comedian, Jonathan Winters? Robin Williams grew very close to him. They became like a father-son relationship. And Robin Williams recently wanted to lift up one of the writings of his late father figure, Jonathan Winters. He had a very soft place in his heart for children. This is something that the comedian Jonathan Winters wrote in one of his books called Winter's Tales. Jonathan Winters assumes the voice of a child, and listen to what he writes. It's illuminating. What are you frightened of, Johnny? I'm frightened of that cloud that's over Russia. I'm scared of war between Libya and us. I'm really scared of Chubby Davis, that bully that beats up on me. He lives two doors away from us. I'm afraid I'm not going to pass into the next grade come June. I'm frightened of lightning. Last summer, lightning struck the big pine tree in our front yard. Grandpa said it was more than 200 years old. I'm afraid of Mrs. Pavick's pit bull. He bit my hand when I reached through the fence to get my baseball. I'm scared to put my newspaper money in the bank because it got held up a couple weeks ago. But there's one final thing Johnny is frightened of. You know what really frightened me the most, he says. Mom and Dad. Because they drink every night, and though they never beat me, they're always saying, they never should have had me. We all wrestle with fears. We all need the blessed assurance of someone who is going to be there for us, someone who will have our back. Jesus brings us into a relationship with such an intimacy that we can go to the Creator now and cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, with the trust of a child to a loving parent. This is so radical in the entire planet. How many of you have barn swallows near your house? Man, I'm having the time of my life. Charlie, I got all kinds of birds out there. I was looking at a meadowlark this morning, and I've always loved birds, but I mean, man, oh man. Got barn swallows. I call them the fighter pilots, the stunt pilots. You ever notice how they fly, right? How many of you have barn swallows? Yeah, originally the barn swallow lived in caves. That's where they originate from, caves. They're cave dwellers. Because sometimes it's ironic. I've often mistaken them for bats, you know, at night, Nick. Well, lo and behold, like the bats, lo and behold, they came from caves. Out of California, Don, they still do. Out in California on the coast, many of them still live in the caves. But the thing is about the barn swallow, they come out and you'll see them swooping up mosquitoes galore. So they're a wonderful blessing. And there's a fascinating mythology that the Native Americans have. And of course, when we Westerners came into the country, we started building barns. And so they Now, primarily, do you know what? The barn swallow, almost all of them now live in human-made structures since we came into the country. But it was the Native Americans that had the mythology. Have you ever noticed that your barn swallow has a tail like this? Or there's like a V? Have you noticed that? Now, according to Native Americans, the mythology is the barn swallow stole fire from the gods and gave it as a gift to people. And an angry god hurled a fireball at the swallow, singeing the middle feathers, which to this day therefore form this open V. Stole fire from the gods to give to us, and therefore the gods became angry. Now, I am totally blown away by that. Because in ancient Greek, oceans away, the ancient Greeks had the mythology uncannily similar, Prometheus. And what did Prometheus do? Get ready. Prometheus stole fire from the gods. Sound familiar? Brought it as a gift to people, and the gods became very angry, and Prometheus got in trouble. And the Greeks and the Romans and the Greco-Roman world and all around the world, sacrifices were made to appease an angry God. Here comes Jesus. Their mythology was one of their own. Came to us with a blessing, and therefore the gods became angry. Well, one of their own in Genesis, Elohim, Hebrew, plural, Elohim, let us make humankind in our image. Well, one of their own, the only begotten Son of God, came to us with the greatest blessing of all, the gift of unfailing grace. And even more than that, a proper introduction to the true God, that God is not an angry God to be appeased by sacrifices. God is a loving Father to be loved. Because, bottom line, the Heavenly Father loves us. This is unique with all the religions of the world. Jesus comes and turns the paradigms upside down. Topsy-turvy, as Bob Tannehill, Dr. Tannehill used to say at Methesco. Topsy-turvy. God is not to be feared, not an angry God to be appeased. God is a God of love. And yes, Derek, He loves us so. God loves us so. Those are the words that your mother embraced. God loves us so. And thus, as a child brings all its fear and its needs in trust to a loving parent, Abba, Father, we are invited to bring our cares in trust to a loving God, to our Heavenly Father. I got a story that came to me, and I'm just going to let you hear it. This is amazing. Amazing. It's true. Let me just say that. It's true. The story comes out of Central Africa, and it is related by a very educated and a very mature disciple, I want to add, too. A very mature Christian. But it's a story from a doctor of Central Africa, and I'm just going to let you hear the witness. In the words of the doctor, he said, "We had labored late into the night with a woman in the labor ward, worked hard to save her. But in spite of all that we could do, this young woman died. And she left behind a tiny premature baby as well as a crying 2-year-old daughter." Now, he said, "We knew it was going to be difficult to sustain the life of this premature baby here on the equator in Central Africa, as we had no incubator. As a matter of fact," he said, "we had no electricity to run an incubator to begin with. And in addition to this, we had no special feeding facilities for a premature baby. And although," he says, "we live on the equator, nights here, believe it or not, can be quite chilly with treacherous drafts." So he said, one of the student midwives, a young nurse, went to the box that we kept for babies such as this in this condition, and she took out the cotton wool that the baby was going to be wrapped up in. Another nurse went stoked up the fire to fill a hot water bottle, And then she came running back to the doctor in tears. She says, doctor, in filling the hot water bottle, it burst. And she added more news. She says, you know, it's the last one we've got, doctor, the last one we've got. Well, the doctor said rubber apparently disintegrates quickly in tropical climates. Well, he says, as in the West, no use crying over spilt milk. In Central Africa, no use crying over a burst water bottle. After all, they don't grow on trees, and there are no drugstores down jungle pathways. So he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, you put the baby as near the fire as safely you can, and then you sleep between the baby and the door to protect it from drafts. He said, your job is to keep this precious child warm. Now, the doctor said the very next day at noon, at the noon hour, which was his practice, his usual custom, he went to have prayer with any of the orphans who chose to gather with him. And here all these little children come around him, Warren. And he reminds them of some things that maybe they could consider to lift up to the Father in prayer. He related to them about this tiny little baby. He told them about the difficulty of keeping it warm. He did mention about the burst hot water bottle and that this precious child could die if it caught a chill. Then he told them about the little sister, the little two-year-old sister crying because her mommy had died. Well, they gathered for prayer. The doctor led the prayer. Well, one of the little children, one of the little orphans, a 10-year-old girl named Ruth, came up and she starts praying. And he said she prayed with the blunt conciseness of a child. Dear God, she prayed, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late, God, as the baby will be dead by then. So please, God, send it this afternoon. Well, the doctor said he gasped inwardly over the audacity of this little child's praying to God just like that, you know, this afternoon. And then she added, furthermore, she said, please, God, if you could, while you're at it, could you send a dolly to the little sister, the little girl, so that she will know that God really loves her? Well, the doctor, as I can appreciate, was conflicted. You know, as many times with the prayers of little children, the little children. He says, could I really honestly add an amen to such a prayer? He said, I just didn't believe that God could do this. Now he said, don't get me wrong. I'm not limiting the power of God. I mean, the witness of Scripture is clear. All things are possible with God, Jesus says. But surely there are limits. I mean, after all, by this afternoon. And he said the only way the prayer could be answered would be if a parcel would come from the homeland. And he said, here's the thing. I've been practicing medicine on the equator in this mission hospital for 4 years and never, ever received a parcel from home. Well, later that afternoon, about halfway through the afternoon, he was teaching at the nurse's training station when, lo and behold, a messenger came. Doctor, there's a car at your front door. Well, he leaves the training station, and by the time he gets, by the way, to his residence, the car's already gone, and there on the veranda is a large 22-pound parcel. He said, I felt the tears prick my eyes. He said, I couldn't even approach it. He said, I couldn't open it alone. I had to call the little orphan children, and here they gathered, and together they carefully untied the strings with little knots. They carefully folded the paper so as not to tear it unduly. And excitement was growing. He said some 30, 40 pairs of little eyes are watching this big parcel, this big cardboard box. And he said he almost closed his eyes as he reached in and lifted up brightly colored knitted jerseys. Well, the little children's eyes just glazed with wonder, you know, and they were so excited as he started giving these out, handing these out. And then he pulled out knitted bandages for leprosy patients. And Doc says by that time the children were getting a little bored with that. But then came boxes of raisins and sultanas that they were going to use to make delicious rolls for the weekend. And then he says, as I reached in and as I lifted, he said, I had to steady my feet. My foundation nearly gave way could it be? This is a true story. He lifted up a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried, he said. He confessed, he said, I cried immediately because he said, I did not ask God to send it because I had not truly believed that God could do such a thing. But little Ruth, the little child, she shouts out, if he sent the bottle, he must have sent the dolly. And little Ruth rushes up, climbs up on something so she can reach in there. She's rummaging around the bottom of that parcel, and she pulled out the most beautifully dressed dolly that you could ever, in your heart of hearts, imagine. Little Ruth says, Doctor, can I go over with you to give this to the little girl so that she will know that Jesus truly loves her? The doctor said, you know, her little eyes sparkled. She had never doubted. Now he said that the rest of this miracle is, and it was a sign for the doc as well as the children. And they saved the baby. But here's the thing. He says, what you've got to appreciate is it didn't come that afternoon. Oh yes, it arrived. He said, but this thing was sent 5 months earlier. That means 5 months earlier, the leader of his old Sunday school class had answered the prompting of God to put, of all things, a hot water bottle in a parcel going to the equator. And then a little girl had added a doll so that some African child could receive a blessing. Now, the doctor was obviously touched in his heart and recognized it as a blessed sign. And we get these signs. And I've talked to people in this church about the signs, that tender, affectionate signs that the Heavenly Father has given you. And like this doctor, this mature disciple, we do recognize that there are those questions that go unanswered. I mean, after all, the mother died, right? The mother died. But with all those questions that may go unanswered, there remains no question about the love of God the Father for us. For God the Father so loved the world, again, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the greatest sign of all. Trust this sign. Trust the invitation of Jesus and cry out with your needs, Abba, Papa, Father, for such is a loving God that we serve and we worship. Now, you know, we're going to take up an offering, and you know how this works. That, yes, we have needs that we take care of here. But you know that parcels are sent all around the world from your gifts, from your offerings. Wouldn't you, Dave, you talk about these little ones and their suckers, and you just love to get a little camera on them and see where it goes. Wouldn't you just love to see where your dollars go around the world? Maybe it's a parcel on a veranda in Central Africa. Maybe it'll be 5 years from now, but just maybe it'll answer the prayer of a trusting child for that very afternoon. At this time, the ushers will assist us as we serve this great God of miracles through our tithes and through our offerings.
One single drop of rain, your salty tear became blue ocean. Yeah. faithful knock resounds upon the rock of ages. One trembling heart and soul becomes a servant bold and courageous. You call across the mountains and the seas. I answer from the deepest part of me. And I lift up my
Let us pray together. God of dreams and visions, open our eyes to see your angels ascending to heaven and descending to earth as they bring your manifold blessings. Open our hearts to offer you our thanks and praise as we pour out the oil of gladness in honor and witness of your presence among us. May the gifts we bring this day be signs of our gratitude for your love and our commitment to be a blessing to all the peoples of your creation. Amen. I'm so proud of you, Roger. Danny, God bless you. I'm so proud of you. Closing hymn 371, I stand amazed in the presence. And now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.